Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text for today is Matthew 18, verses 1 through 10, and also the theme for the day, dealing with St. Michael and all angels. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Today we remember the feast day of St. Michael's and all angels, which is celebrated every year on September 29th. This was this past Thursday, which is why we're doing it this Sunday as well, since it fell on Thursday. Angels are some of the most misunderstood species mentioned in all of the scriptures. In the Bible, there are only two angels mentioned by name, that is Michael, the archangel, and Angel Gabriel, who, while not called an archangel in scripture, is called one of the by the church since the 4th century. Michael is mentioned in Daniel chapters 10 and 12, and Jude verse 9, and Revelation 12, as we heard today. And then Gabriel is mentioned, of course, in Daniel 8 and 9, and in Luke chapter 1. It is important to us to understand this. This is very important for us to understand that God could sustain and preserve us for himself over and against the devil and all misery without any aid of the angels. Just as he was able to create humans, as he did with Adam and Eve, without father and mother. Also to give us light without sun and stars, as he will in the new heaven and the new earth. And without plow or soil or tilling, give us food, as he did the children of Israel in the Exodus. But he does not want to do it in this way. Instead, God has given father and mother in order to establish a household, and where God blesses to beget and rear children. He has given us rulers and judges to govern. He has created the sun and the moon to light for light and to order our seasons. In short, God has arranged all of his creation in such a way that one creature is to serve another. And so for this reason, we are to thank God for giving us father and mother, temporal government, even when we disagree with them, sun and moon and stars, grain and all sorts of creatures to serve and sustain us in this life. By the same token, then, we should also learn that God protects and aids us through his angels, for which we should surely thank God as well. Now, the celebration of St. Michael's and St. Michael's and all angels is set on the 29th of September because a little basilica that was built about 6 miles away from Rome was dedicated on September 29th. This feast is celebrated throughout the Western Church since at least the 12th century. It was in the 5th century when the basilica was dedicated. The Anglican Church added the titles and all angels after the Reformation. And Lutherans retain this celebration of this feast because it is seen primarily as a feast about Jesus. However, this feast is largely ignored by Lutherans today and much of Christianity today. And it's sad to say because I think much of Christianity has fallen the road of the Sadducees. Right? One of the great heresies of the Sadducees is they rejected the existence of angels. Right? And our culture seems to have rejected that part of God's invisible creation. But you see, celebrating a feast day like this, St. Michael's and all angels, is a good time for the church to lay out a proper understanding of the doctrine of angels and to understand their proper work and function rather than to let the culture, who goes off into various forms of idolatry and stupidity, for lack of another word, in talking about angels. I don't. You remember back in the 80s, Shirley MacLaine. If you're old enough, you're not. You can bing it later. Bing pays me to be their friend. Yeah, and so. And so the important doctrine of right angels is that they will always point us to one thing, They will point us to Jesus, to the Christ. Chronologically speaking, the first mention of angels in the scriptures is after the fall of Adam and Eve, as the cherubim with a flaming sword is placed to protect mankind from eating of the fruit of the tree of life. If mankind ate of that fruit after falling into sin, we're all damned. Angels fight for us against Satan and the evil angels as Michael fought with the dragon. They guard us in peril. The angel of God stopped the mouths of lions with Daniel in the lion's den and walked around with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. St. Peter was delivered from the cruelty of Herod Antipas by an angel. It is kind of interesting that when the angel comes and lets Peter out of prison, Peter leaves. Later he lets Paul out of prison and Paul stays. I find that fascinating. Paul stays and it ends up keeping the guard alive. Peter escaped for his own life because Antipas and his cruelty, Herod Antipas. Angels showed Hagar a fountain where her and her son might drink. An angel provided bread and water for Elijah under the broom tree. Angels announced Jesus' birth to the shepherds. Angels ministered to Jesus after the temptation. An angel came to and strengthened Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Angels rolled back the rock from the tomb, revealing that Jesus had risen from the dead. Of course, angels spoke to Mary and Joseph. The angel Gabriel spoke to Mary and Joseph, telling them about the coming of the Christ child, that Jesus would be born and that Joseph could be comfortable marrying his wife. And we must not forget that on the last day, angels will sound the trumpet blast when our Lord Jesus returns. So in short, we could say angels are present at the key moments in Jesus, key moments when Jesus is saving his people from their sins. The word angel in the Koine Greek is angelos, which simply means messenger. An angel is then literally a messenger from the Lord, and this term can be used for both human and supernatural. Now, when I say that way with human, is we see that in Revelation when John is talking of the letters to the churches, the seven churches there, it says to the angel of the churches, and it could mean pastor as well at that point. Okay? A true angel will always point the person to Jesus and his work, yet St. Paul warns us in his letter to the church at Galatia, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preached, let him be cursed. That means damned. It's like Paul could see down the road through history. And oddly enough, the Holy Spirit's guiding him, so yes, he could, even though maybe he didn't know what he was writing about. Because particularly at that point in Galatians, he's dealing with the Judaizers and those who are trying to add things to God's law, to God's word. But it's like he knew Muhammad and Joseph Smith were on the coming down the road because both of them had visions from angels that led them to preach a completely different gospel than the one that Paul proclaimed, right? It also reminds us then that there are good and bad angels. We refer to the bad angels as our fallen angels as demons, right? And the scriptures don't tell us precisely when the angels were created, but they were created holy someday between day one and day six of creation, is my understanding, the best I can fathom, because on the seventh day God rests, right? And the scriptures tell us that they are too numerable to number. Revelation 5, then I looked and I heard around the throne of the living and the living creatures, the elders, the voice of many angels numbering myriads and myriads and thousands of thousands. Of this group of angels who serve God day and night, a portion, for some reason, rebelled against the Lord. And they were cast out of heaven. The scriptures don't bother to tell us why. Isaiah tells us that ancient serpent who is called the devil, that is Satan, and his angels were cast down from heaven. And to the best of our knowledge from Scripture, it appears about a third of the angels fell, were cast out with him. The fallen angels work against every every work of the Lord. They seek to destroy the crown of God's visible creation, and that's us, you and me. Satan, the accuser, slanders and maligns the Lord's people throughout the scriptures, seemingly always using the same successful question. Did God really say? Think about all the times. Just our confession today of our sins and the rationale behind all the sins that we've committed in thought, word, and deed. How many times is it connected to you consciously or unconsciously saying, well, God didn't really say that? You see, the devil's only tool left is to accuse us. And he doesn't get to accuse us before the Father, so he works on making us our own worst enemies. Right? And we are. Just think of the things you're thinking about when you're alone. Or perhaps even right now. The thoughts that go through our mind as the devil wants to make you doubt that you are worthy of God's forgiveness. Well, don't worry about that. You're not. But Jesus forgives you anyways. Not because you're worthy, but because you're His. You're an heir of the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, we celebrate St. Michael's and all angels to commemorate the great battle in heaven between Satan and his evil angels. St. Michael and the angels of the Lord. Our reading today describes how the Lord uses Michael and the angels to deliver his people from accusations of Satan. Because Jesus took all of Satan's accusations against us onto himself when he died on the cross. He willingly took our sins and all the punishment for them into himself, there dying our death, and on the third day, as we know so well, rising for our salvation, our victorious Lord. Satan then has nothing more to say to the Lord about those who are joined to Christ Jesus. Every evil deed, every sin, every impure thought or intention is placed on Jesus, who is not an angel, thanks be to God, but the only begotten Son of the Father, the God-man. Now Satan is not only silenced, but cast down from heaven, never more to stand before the Lord to deliver slander and accusation against us, God's people. So how did Michael do this? How did he win the battle in heaven over and against the demonic forces? Was it with some Hollywood-style fireball? Some mystical weapon of mass destruction? No. Michael and his angels used the very same weapon that the Lord has given to us. The Lord's word and his name. That which was placed on us in baptism, that which we remembered as we began our service today, and we continue in. It's in Jude 9 where we read, Michael battled Satan, and he said, "The Lord rebuke you." Not, "I rebuke you in the name of the Lord," but, "The Lord rebuke you." It's God who has the authority, not us. When Satan was cast out of heaven, we read in Revelation 12, "And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." Satan and his evil angels are defeated not with sword or battle plans, but by the blood of Jesus Christ and his word. And these are the very gifts that we receive today through the hearing of God's word and the reception of his gift, the Lord's Supper. Every time the Lord's word is then preached in its truth and purity, Satan is defeated. Every time a child is brought to baptism and is taught to live in and through baptism, Satan is defeated. Every time a sinner receives absolution, Satan is defeated. Every time a child of God receives Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of sins, Satan is defeated. Because in Christ, Satan is always defeated. The gates of hell will not and cannot prevail against the Lord and his church, because in Christ, Satan and his angels, even sin and its fruit, death, are defeated. So then the question from our text. It always gets me. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? It is those who humble themselves to receive Jesus to receive his gifts. As Jesus says in the text, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like a child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So please never forget, littleness is greatness. Though you are weak, he is strong. So let us join with Paul and boast all the more gladly in our weakness. For while our sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Because Jesus, the only begotten Son, has set us free. And we are free indeed. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.